You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
They don't have the votes to convict. We had 45 people, 45 Republican senators say that the whole charade is unconstitutional. So what does that mean? It means that impeachment, the trial, is dead on arrival.
Those are the words of Senator Rand Paul. You move forward with this impeachment, it's dead on arrival. This is January 27th, 2021. And yes, the Democrats are still going to try to push forward with this impeachment. Yesterday, Senator Rand Paul demanded to see a count of the members who in the Senate who believe that this is as a point of order, an unconstitutional application of the impeachment. And he got the vote. And he got 45 senators to say, yeah, it's not good. So with that in mind, Senator Paul says, now this impeachment's dead on arrival. But they're going to continue the circus. They've already started it. The music started. They brought in the lions, the elephants, the clowns. Everything is here. We're going to do it. Why? Why? To continue to pound on Trump? And anyone out listening to me right now, any one of you who supported him at any point on anything, on any point, maybe you don't like him overall. Maybe you disagree with something he did here and there. But overall, you're still down as a Trump supporter. And you heard the news just a moment ago that now there's been a special warning or whatever they're calling it. It's hard to say. I'm looking for more details on exactly how it's being clarified. That there's a warning that we might have some kind of terrorist attack. And they link it to what happened with January 6th. At the Capitol. They're suggesting that folks who are still upset and want to fight against what they're seeing happen to the nation, that they might start striking back. Yet they give no specifics. On one hand, I can see why you don't want to give specifics. But what they're doing now is just throwing again more fuel on the fire. They're suggesting there might be some general uprising. And they want to claim that many on the right, especially Trump supporters, are nothing but conspiracy theorists. And they think you're going to have to be deprogrammed, and they're going to work on that. We're going to break that story down for you as well as we go through the next 2 hours. And this decision, the Biden administration considering implementing mandatory coronavirus testing if you travel on U.S. domestic flights. There's already been a statement from the CDC that anyone coming in from out of country must have a vaccine proof or a test in advance of their flight, or they're not going to be allowed to board the plane to come into the States. Now they're looking at, actively looking, they say, into imposing a domestic travel testing requirement. And they keep saying we're gonna put things better. We're gonna make things better. And yet Joe Biden the other day admitted, I don't know when we're gonna get out of this. He knew everything when he was campaigning, but now he's in the office. I don't know. Are you surprised? And of course, the cancel culture continues to push rapidly across the nation. I told you previously that in San Francisco they were looking at a commission that would look at various schools throughout that city that maybe they need to be removed because they might be related to some kind of oppression of people. One of them, an elementary school named for current U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein. Well, now they're thinking and saying that we'll probably remove her name from a school because over allegations she replaced a damaged Confederate flag outside City Hall when she was the city's mayor in 1986. No one's safe with these folks. They want to go after any school named after Francis Scott Key who wrote the words to the national anthem. And then our national pledge. I know many of you know our pledge. I will admit that maybe you haven't said it recently, and you might not get exactly wording. You know, that happens. But what happened in California, first of all, surprised me they even did a pledge of allegiance. But secondly, what happened with it, it's a laugh. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my own Studley Roy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I can tell you, Putin has to be pretty ecstatic right now. I mean, one of the things that bothered him the most was how energy independent we had become. And the idea that President Biden has already cut off the Keystone Pipeline, started banning fracking. That in itself is one thing. The fact that Biden is jumping back into the New START agreement, but not even jumping back in, doing it for 5 years, that's something that gave Russia a lot of advantage, and it never included China in it, which is something President Trump was trying to do. I mean, it's a good first week for Russia right now.
Wow, you think Biden got elected by Putin? What do you think? That's Nikki Haley, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and saying everything Biden has done, from killing the Keystone Pipeline to jumping into some START programs, everything else, that they're making Putin happy. He should be ecstatic. Do you think we'll see anybody investigating any Russian collusion between Biden getting elected and, of course, China? No, you're not going to see any of that. But Nikki Haley calls him out on what he did. And I want to focus primarily on the pipeline for a moment, which, by the way, I saw a story cross a moment ago. I'm looking for the source again. But Biden is supposedly now saying, I am not going to stop fracking. I'm not going to shut down fracking. Let me see. But I'm still looking for the source here. But I want to read it to you the way I saw it a moment ago, because I don't want to go off half-cocked. I did see the statement cross, and I'll get the details as we move through this segment, because that's another way to kill a lot of jobs. He's also, of course, canceled, as you know, federal drilling right on federal lands, stopping all drilling Some of you will remember, some of you won't, when we were so dependent upon OPEC and we didn't have our own oil and gas as we needed it. Well, let me put it this way. We had it, but we were not allowed to take it and use it. And so we had to buy from other countries on a continuous basis. We've been independent for some time now. But here comes Biden shutting down the Keystone Pipeline. And we're talking about a national security issue. In addition to jobs, that's a critical point, but it's a national security issue. If you have to depend on another country for the very basis of your company operating, oil and gas at this point, fossil fuels, yes. Are you suddenly going to realize we could be held hostage and we have to kind of kowtow to whatever they want if we want the oil and gas we want? Yeah, here it is. I'm looking for it. It just popped up a different way. Now, I'm trying to see on this fracking. This now is a statement or a report by CNN Business Reporter. It says, no, comma, Joe Biden still isn't banning fracking. You see, points out that he is cracking down on oil and gas industry, but he's not taking the extreme steps the Trump campaign claimed he would last fall. So far, I would add. So far, he already imposed a 60-day suspension of new oil and gas leasing, drilling permits on federal lands. Going a step extra yesterday, that moratorium on new oil and gas leases on federal land and water areas. And by the way, some of the Indian tribes, everyone concerned about minority groups and American Indians, they own some of those lands and say, we want the oil taken from this land. It generates revenue. It's part of our reservation. You cannot stop it. But he did certainly kill the pipeline. And when he did that, he automatically, immediately put hundreds of thousands of jobs here and in Canada, at risk. I don't mean just directly working on the pipeline, but between that and shutting down oil leases, trying to control additional, and fracking is, in my opinion, it's not out of his view at this point, because he wants to get away from fossil fuels. It's going to be devastating for the economy and all, but also for individuals.
Getting rid of the Keystone Pipeline will do nothing for the environment, but it will, getting rid of it, upset our Canadian allies and put 11,000 families on the unemployment line at a time when it's hard to find work and the kind of work we need in this country. And they had no problem at the stroke of a pen putting 11,000 people out of work.
Those are the words of Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. I'm looking at an opinion piece for the Wall Street Journal. Biden's Keystone Pipeline killed. On his first day, he insults Canada and ends thousands of jobs. Talking about this blizzard of executive orders on his first day, one of them being revoking the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. He said it's in the editorial board for the Wall Street Journal, said it's a slap at Canada, sending a message to investors that playing by U.S. rules provides no immunity from arbitrary political whim. The Obama State Department, this points out, found five separate times that the pipeline would have no material impact on greenhouse gas emissions. Five separate times the Obama State Department said the pipeline would have no material impact on greenhouse gas emissions. It did say shipping by rail or tanker could result in a 28 to 42% higher CO2 emissions and more leaks. Well, of course, despite that, Obama in 2015 rejected the permit as part of his salute to the Paris Climate Accords. Now Biden yanking the permit as we again rejoin the Paris Agreement. And none of it, according to the Wall Street Journal, the editorial in the last line, neither action will matter to the climate. Just what Rubio just told you. And again, Senator Rubio says when you listen to the Democrats, they're going to tell you that they actually care about you. Listen to this, please.
They say they care about jobs, but when the time comes to protect them, they choose the agenda of the far left over jobs for Americans. And people are seeing it. And unfortunately, 11,000 families have been hurt. And the arrogance of some of these people to say, well, we're going to find them other jobs and clean tech. Is that next week? Is that next month? Or are you talking about 10 years from now? Because these families need to eat and pay rent and raise their kids.
Yeah. But just hold on. We'll make things happen for you. And oil jobs pay some of the top dollar. Now, where do you think they're going to get something that paid that kind of money? Oh, I know. I can hear them say, well, we're going to demand a $15 minimum wage. They make more than $15 an hour. And in that business, that industry, they can pay top dollar because they get the top people, and it's work that they're specially qualified for. The Union Pipe Fitters president is trying to walk a line. He's admitted that, yeah, we endorsed Biden, and we have a lot of our people working on that pipeline, and we did endorse him, and we're disappointed he shut it down, but you know, we're still kind of waiting to see what else happens. That's the president. What do you think the rank and the file, the guys out there said, here's your last check. Don't bother showing up tomorrow. It's done. That job itself had 8,000 union jobs that it could have kept running all the way through this year, minimum. And they just shut it down. And as you heard Senator Rubio say, 11,000 families hurt, and the arrogance of some of them, well, we're going to find them other jobs in clean tech. Next month, 10 years from now, what are we supposed to do about our families until that time? But they're spinning it. They're spinning it in the administration, trying to make it sound, well, this is not that bad. This is not that bad. Listen to this. The President Biden climate advisor, Gina McCarthy, said the administration, quote, is not asking for sacrifice with the executive order to shut down the pipeline. That's what she said on NBC. The most exciting thing about this is we're not asking for sacrifice here. Well, what the hell would you call it? What would you call it? You take their jobs and you shut it down. And I don't mean just you pause it for a day. You shut it down. They are out of work. It shuts down. Minimum of 11,000 direct jobs in the U.S., 8,000 of those union jobs. And just among those, they generate $1.6 billion in gross wages. And that does not even involve all the ripple effects of others that are involved or get benefit from the building construction of the pipeline. Everything from a local service station that is supplying gas to vehicles of workers to a little convenience store that's selling snacks. I mean, it's massive. But Gina McCarthy, echoing the standard line from the leftists, climate change, quote, is one of the biggest threats of our lifetime. And we need clean energy. But we're not asking for sacrifice. She said, this is all about investing in the infrastructure we need to build that future that's going to get us clean electricity and net zero in 2050. This is about promises he made that he's going to keep. Put that on some of the tombstones of those Americans who lose their jobs and then their health goes or they decide they just can't keep going. Hopefully they won't, but we've already got a crisis in this country with suicides between the lockdowns and COVID, jobs cut, folks not having anything to make rent. They're afraid they're going to be evicted, even though there are orders that are supposedly going to protect them, but they know at some point the wolf is going to be back at the door. And I want to hear Rubio again, where he's talking about how Dems care about you. Just listen to this again, please.
They say they care about jobs, and when the time comes to protect them, they choose the agenda of the far left over jobs for Americans, and people are seeing it, and unfortunately 11,000 families have been hurt, and the arrogance of some of these people to say, well, we're going to find them other jobs and clean tech. Is that next week? Is that next month? Or are you talking about 10 years from now? Because these families need to eat and pay rent and raise their kids.
Oh, Rubio, Senator Rubio, you're just off the wall. You don't get it. You don't get it. Let me quote again for you, Senator Rubio. Let me quote the words of the climate advisor for President Biden, Gina McCarthy. I mean, you were over there making it sound like it's going to be perilous days ahead and hunger and strife. Gina McCarthy says, sir, the most exciting thing about this is we're not asking for sacrifice here. How many out there believe that? Do not raise your hands all at once. You might cause a wave that someone will blame on global warming or something. The global elite saying they want to have a great reset. And they say, we know it sounds like a nefarious plan for world domination, but trust us, it's not. We're going to talk about that in more detail coming up. The next segment, let's focus a little bit on this impeachment issue again. And what Senator Lindsey Graham says, a rush to judgment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One thing you haven't talked about, I think we should spend more time talking about, is that the President of the United States was impeached in 50 hours without one witness being called, and he didn't have a lawyer. They never called a witness in the House. If there's an effort by the Democrats to call a single witness in the United States Senate, they had no record in the House. There will be a delay of this trial. There will be a Pandora's box being opened. We will want witnesses, and this thing will go on for weeks, if not months. So I'm hoping that we have a trial based on a stipulation of fact, not witnesses, and we get this behind us in about 3 days after we begin.
Those are the words of Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, and saying, first of all, there were no witnesses called in the House because they rushed to judgment. And if they're really going to do it properly in the Senate, they're going to have to bring in witnesses, and it will start dragging out. He said, actually, I'd like to get this trial over sooner rather than later. He said to my Democrat colleagues, if you try to call one witness, you're going to blow up the U.S. Senate. Don't do that. Let's just get this travesty over with. And, of course, he's also of the opinion the whole thing's unconstitutional and ill-conceived because you're trying to impeach someone who's already out of office, being President Trump. Now, to that extent, Senator Rand Paul also says, just if you want another look at why and how it might be considered not constitutional, look what the Chief Justice, who would normally be brought in for impeachment, according to the Constitution, the rules and setup, to the impeachment would be overseen by the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. But he's not going to come. Here are the words of Senator Rand Paul.
You can impeach a president, but this is why the Chief Justice didn't show up. If it was the president, the Chief Justice shows up. The fact that the Chief Justice wouldn't come and refused to come means that this is a private citizen, but the Constitution doesn't allow for impeachment of a private citizen.
And we did talk about yesterday, former Secretary of War Belknap, under the administration of Ulysses S. Grant, they filed impeachment against him in the House, did impeach him in the House, and before he went into the Senate, he rushed in and tearfully submitted his resignation to become a private citizen. Senate went ahead anyway, carried out its trial, but was not able to convict him. So if the Chief Justice in this case has decided this doesn't fit the criteria for a constitutional impeachment, I don't need to be there and I won't be there. That should be some statement to the other side. But they're not interested in facts. By the way, let me rush back to this issue I said earlier about Biden. Is he going to ban fracking? There is a report I just pulled off from one source. This is Breitbart. I'll always give you the source, that says Biden will announce a ban on new oil and gas leases on federal lands and waters today. That he will bar any fracking on new federal lands, despite campaigning that he would not ban it. Yeah, that's what he said in August 2020. He said, I'm not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I'm not banning fracking. No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me, I'm not banning fracking. We'll be watching for that. And in the meantime, the left's still trying to consider, how do we deprogram all of these Trump supporters? And all of you are conspiracy theorists, each and every one of you. At least that's the opinion of one of the reporters that the left considers an esteemed reporter. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's very, very difficult to deprogram conspiracy theory believers for a variety of cognitive reasons and because it's also extremely social and some people are finding fun in it. But that doesn't let elected officials or state parties off the hook, right? We need a coalition of reality, a coalition of truth in our politics, because obviously there are people who are getting deluded messages and those conspiracy theories stick.
Well, those are the words of Washington Post columnist Brian Klass with his op-ed stating that there's a near futility of trying to deprogram millions of Trump supporters, claiming many have gone far enough down the rabbit hole of conspiratorial thinking, we'll never get them back. And he claims millions of Trump supporters, probably you listening, are so devoted to dangerous lunacy, nearly all hope is lost of bringing them back to reality. Cannot be rescued. This is the left, again, following through with the remarks of Joe Biden's inauguration. Let us have healing. Let us bring the nation together. They look at the events that happened at the Capitol, which are horrendous. I've condemned them. I condemned them that day. Trump has also condemned them. But they want to claim that he's responsible for it happening. And yet, the actual break-in at the Capitol has been documented that it was taking place while he was still speaking, before he told everybody to march down to the Capitol and make our voices heard. But don't let that get in the way of a story. I've told you before, their attitude is that don't let the facts interfere with a good story. Our story is Trump's to blame. That's why we're having the impeachment. And all of those people listening to him, they all went down there and rioted and caused. They did not all go down there. You know that. And they know it. They are of the opinion with the same thing they blame Trump for. If you tell people a lie long enough, often enough, repeated enough, they will begin to believe it. That's what he said about Trump all this time. They know how the game's played. But here's columnist Brian Klass with his essay, quote, why is it so hard to deprogram Trumpian conspiracy theorists? Now, look, are there some folks inside the Trump camp that are a little bit too far out there? Yeah, I hear from them. There are some, yeah. Much farther than I would go. In fact, I was talking to George Norrie the other day. You know George, host of Coast to Coast Nightline. I mean Nightline, Coast to Coast, his night program. And he gets a lot of conspiracy people, mainly reference UFOs and so forth. And we're talking about, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that have some strange beliefs. It may not affect anyone around them. They just believe it. And some people you just can't deal with. Some of them, it's honestly a mental illness, and it's nothing to laugh about for them or those around them. But for some, they've just gone off some wacko track, and they're not coming back. I know they exist. They exist on the left. They exist on the right. They exist non-political whatsoever. But what we're having now by the left is we have to demonize every Trump supporter. We have to deprogram them. They've already said that. They've got to deprogram millions of Trump supporters. Who's going to decide that you are a conspiracy theorist? And he said we're going to have a truth, basically a true squad. This is very close to what AOC had suggested the other day, that we need some oversight to watch reports coming out to decide if they're true or not from all the news sources. And to get rid of Fox News and anything that we consider might go the other way. So again, here's class again talking about the whole idea, a conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy theories are most attractive to people who have a Manichaean worldview, which means they see the world through the prism of right and wrong. And so QAnon is all about Trump, the good superhero, vanquishing this evil, shadowy cabal. There's also the issue of the fact that the people who debunk conspiracy theories are, by their very definition, those who the conspiracy theorists think are the deep state. So if I write in the Washington Post that this is false, they view that as proof that there's a cover-up.
Yeah, some believe that, and in many cases, they may be right. But you heard him say these conspiracy theorists are the ones that, you know, see things as right and wrong. Well, of course we do. And that gets a lot of us. Yes, I know the difference between right and wrong. But he goes on to say that they thrive in church groups and yoga classes. I will have to admit, I don't know if you guys are going conspiracy nutty in yoga classes, because you're not going to find me in a yoga class. But I don't know of any church group that I've ever attended that is wacko, except for some of the far, far right that use the Bible as a weapon against any person of different color or different religion and want to cleanse the world that way. Yeah, there are some of those like that. Anything like that in yoga? I don't know. You'd have to tell me. But he says they're all social, so deprogramming them is even much harder. And he said, and then if I write a story and challenge them, well, then they say, well, he's part of the cover-up. Deluded people, as he refers to them. His essay says, deluded Trump supporters are less conspicuous than expected. So deeming the attempt to accurately diagnose those who have taken the poison is more difficult. Bringing the deluded people who populate Trump's political base back to reality will be difficult. If they're going to constantly mock and attack Americans who have a different view and call them lunatics and deluded and conspiracy theorists, simply because you don't agree with them? He does point out something that I have seen happen with some of the wackos that I have encountered through decades of reporting. And they're not necessarily right, not necessarily by right, I mean on the right side of the political fence, nor the left side. They're just have their own views. Once again, the opinion of Washington Post columnist Brian Klass.
The conspiracy theorists are also people who adapt their beliefs as new facts come into view. So when Biden was inaugurated, which wasn't supposed to happen under QAnon belief, some people started saying, oh, he's secretly in on the plan. It's unfalsifiable. It's like the doomsday cults that say, you know, the world's going to end on October 4th, and they wake up on October 5th and say, oh, actually, we just miscalculated. It's going to happen in 3 years. And that's why we need to have a coalition of reality in our politics. And Republican leaders need to be held accountable for not inhabiting that real space that we all should live in.
Republican leaders are to blame, right? He is right, though, that there are many that predict a particular thing and it doesn't happen, and then they change the date. I've seen that. You remember back in the, let me stop and think, this would have been mid-80s, 86, 88, somewhere in there. There was going to be a massive earthquake originating again from the New Madrid Fault. And I had to go down there and cover that stupid event that night, standing out there. We're waiting till 3 in the morning that, you know, the whole world's going to come apart with this. Never happened. Never happened. People were stockpiling water, gas, and it didn't happen. Remember Y2K? Everything was going to shut down, all the computers, but whoop, wiped out. That didn't happen either. And yeah, there are those like that, and then they have to change their storyline. We know that. But I don't know any Trump supporters that fall into the category he's describing. Are there some in there? No doubt. As there are on the left. Oh, you want an example? You want me to name some? Let me see. People that are often delude themselves and others around them. Oh, I don't know. Maybe a U.S. Senator, Elizabeth Warren. Would that qualify? Bernie Sanders, would that qualify? I'm just asking. By the way, Bernie Sanders is getting more publicity than he's ever gotten simply because they showed at the inauguration with those mittens on and sitting there kind of all looking like an old grumpled old man because I'm not standing up there. And those pictures are surfacing everywhere. He shows up at everybody's party the way they're putting it together. But the World Economic Forum, when we're talking about what's going to happen and the concern, yes, Americans overall are concerned, especially on the right, that we're going to have, quote, a new world order if we're not careful. Now, that's been, quote, you might say a conspiracy theorist for a long time between that and UN, but there is some things in there that you have to look at and question. The World Economic Forum now meeting in the Davos Summit, taking place online all this week. They put out a video to insist the Great Reset is simply an opportunity to build a better world. And saying again, this is not some nefarious plan for world domination. Well, I'm not so sure you don't have some folks in there that do want to dominate the world. And then we got the political theater still being played out in D.C. using National Guard troops. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's obvious that the Democrats are just trying to play political theater with our nation's soldiers. They're trying to have the optics that the nation is in turmoil and in a very difficult place. That way, if Biden makes even a modicum of success, and I do hope that he makes a significant amount of success, we should all hope that our president succeeds. But that way, if he makes even a modicum of success, it'll look like, oh, wow, look, Biden's opened up the country again. He's gotten rid of the police state in Washington, D.C. That is what I believe the troops are there for. And they have been doing an incredible job.
Those are the words of Congressman Madison Cawthorn, Republican, North Carolina, saying right now we're watching the left use the troops that are in D.C. as political theater, that they've got to be there to maintain order and so forth. And eventually they'll go and they'll all praise Biden for making the world safer and D.C. safer. You do know that the mayor of D.C. and some other Democrats joining with her were talking at one point that when they were preparing for the inauguration that they really wanted some heavy-duty machine guns around the area. They're not talking about a soldier carrying a machine gun. They're talking about turret-mounted machine guns like you find on a Humvee, an armored Humvee, or you find on a tank, 50-caliber machine guns that can spew a spray lead, taking out dozens of lives in one spray. They were thinking that's what they wanted. They're the same ones who said, we don't want to militarize our cities. Don't send them into our cities. And yet here in D.C., yes, we want them. And they're keeping them there. I was trying to book today Christopher Bedford for the Federalist, but he had another event he couldn't get free of. But I want to share his article with you. His title, The Occupation of Washington is Pure Panic Porn, and You Are the Target. He points out the National Guard now in D.C. for 3 weeks. Major traffic arteries of the city closed. Concertina razor wire surrounding noble government buildings. Fences, military trucks, armored vehicles, crisscrossing roads and neighborhoods. Again, all called originally to secure the Capitol and the inauguration. But the Guard never left. 25,000 sent in. And Texas has called its back. Some other governors are calling theirs back, saying they don't need to stay there. But we're being told that thousands could remain, quote, indefinitely. And Chris Bedford, again, a contributor to the Federalist, senior editor, I should point out, said all this seems theatrical and excessive. If it seems that way, said, it is because it is. He says, worse yet, it's about politics, not security. The same politicians who claimed Antifa violence against voters was a myth now insist they need a full division of troops to defend them from a rebel army that doesn't exist. So then this word that surfaced earlier, and I've still been looking for additional confirmation that it was mentioned on the top of the hour by the news group saying that there was a warning being put out to be aware of additional terrorist acts of some type that might be attributed to the folks who stormed the Capitol and others like them. That's what they're claiming. And so that just gives more, what, qualification to keep the troops in D.C.? This idea of troops in D.C., with everything over at this point, how long are they going to keep them there? How long are they going to keep up the fencing and wiring? We have already had areas where we have had to beef up security, putting up these concrete barriers and these posts and so forth that rise up out of the ground when they're needed to secure an area. That's all understandable. We've had to do that, unfortunately, because this is a different world than it was in the past. But some of it is, again, like Congressman Madison saying, it's theater. Same thing is pointed out here by Chris Bedford in his piece. And then there's also the way it's being played sometimes. Here's something else Madison points out. Listen, please.
These liberal lawmakers came down. They took lots of selfies with these troops, acted like they loved them, that they were so happy for them. But as soon as all the cameras went away, as soon as it was just the Democrats in Washington, they very quickly just cast them to the side. They were upset that many of them weren't wearing masks.
Yeah, they did that, remember? And there were complaints about, you know, then some decide, oh, we should defend them because they're laying in a cold garage. Well, that, quite honestly, if you're in the military, that might be one of your better places to lay for a while. But aside from that, you also had the First Lady, Jill Biden, apparently go out to see some of the troops and bring them cookies and then encourage them to stand around her so they could get a photo op. if you just really want to be nice to them, just take the cookies out. Don't make it a photo op. But it's all to show theater. Exactly, theater. When we continue on the other side, more on the impeachment, the rush to judgment, and a real laugh from Cuomo.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.